It's a wonderful thing. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight, Romans chapter 12. Romans, book of Romans is certainly about the gospel, the doctrine of salvation, to be saved, soteriology, that's the $5 word for it. And I think Romans 12 is probably one of the greatest chapters of the Bible. It's certainly a transitional chapter, because these first chapters, the first through eight, deal with sin, with salvation, with sanctification. And then you've got this parenthetical section, the 9, 10, 11 chapters that deal with Israel, how God has dealt with them and will deal with them. Chapter 9 is their election. Chapter 10, their rejection. And chapter 11, the restoration. He'll be using them again. But that's parenthetical, that 9 through 11. But 1 through 8, as we said before, sin, salvation, sanctification. And that's what we're going to camp on tonight. I told you this morning, we'll be talking about holy living. And then afterwards, 12 transitions us from the principles that were all outlined regarding sin, salvation, and sanctification. And then you move on to the practice of it from chapters 13 on. It's a great book, a wonderful book. And the verses we're going to camp on tonight in light of holy living are 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, this of course is the Apostle Paul speaking, I beseech you, in other words, I entreat you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Goes along with the song, doesn't it? What a reason. I'd live for him. Totally for him. But notice the next word, holy. You almost skip over that word. You know, even when you, by memorization, you just read over, you quote the verse, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But holy is one of the most important words there. Being holy, living holy to please him. If he's number one in your life, living holy pleases him. And so to please him, you live holy. And by the way, holy living, that's your reasonable service, according to this verse. It's not some outlandish expectation of a holy God that we try to measure up to him and his perfection, holiness. No, that'll never be done till we leave these carcasses. But he does command us here. We're to live holy like our God. It pleases him. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. So there's the entanglements, the distractions that the devil puts before us in this life. But be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it all happens, right up here. That you may prove it as a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, not the perfect will of self. So we're trying to please God, and in the process, in the attempt to please God, it means living holy. And it's our reasonable service, as we said. Be reminded the gospel is not confined to the salvation of the soul, but includes the salvation of your life. It's not just that there, one and done, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven someday, and I just got to live out these years. No, there's this life is to be set apart for God, sanctified, holy, presented to him to please him. And that, in that process comes great joy. Are you living holy? Has sin crept in? Sin always wants to creep in. The devil sees to it. He looks for those open doors. He looks for the weakness in your life and mine. And he puts those temptations. He wants us to fail. But God wants us to live holy. And you can't do that on your own. Not one of us in here can say, well, I'm going to live holy and live holy. You can't do that on your own, no more than you could save your life, save your soul. You need God. And that's why the presenting of self, I'm going to talk about that. Richard Taylor said this, holiness is inwrought by the Holy Spirit, not because we have suffered. It's kind of Catholic twinge to it there, you suffer, you become holier, but because we have surrendered. Present your body a living sacrifice. It's the presentation, which we will talk about, surrender of self to our holy God. Leonard Ravenhill said this, "The greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that man holy and put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it." That's sanctification. That's the work of God. You can't live holy on your own. You need God, and he's told us that. And so I got four quick points this evening regarding holy living with the desire to please God. Now, the first key word is in verse 1. The Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." Therefore often is skipped over, but it's a very important word. Every word in the Bible is very important. But therefore, it reflects back to what has been said. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies." Okay, so there's a presentation, a surrender of my life, my body and my life that's expected if I'm going to live holy, but it's based upon something. "Therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren." So I want you to do this based upon this. Therefore, these are the chapters that preceded. They're foundational. They're instruction. Primarily, chapters 6 through 8, sanctification. Again, the first two, three chapters deal with sin, and then salvation. But 6 to 8 deal with sanctification, this becoming holy, living holy for God. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. We'll never get there. Not in this life. But I am talking about living holy and totally dedicated unto God, presenting ourselves unto God. And it says here, therefore, and that refers to the truth, the Bible itself. In these previous chapters, God revealed instruction of sin, salvation, and sanctification. And that will provide for holy living, being set apart for God. So the basis for holy living is what God has revealed. So I'd call this first point, the foundation for holy living is revelation. What God has revealed in his word, it's foundational. You will never live holy if you're not in your Bible. If you're not reading, thinking, pondering, musing, meditating upon this book. It's foundational. The revelation of God, what he has given to us, what he has revealed to us. The entire Bible, in truth, is God's revelation. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, some familiar verses here. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the revelation, which again is the foundation for holy living. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or holy, mature, truly furnished unto all good works. So we can live that way. It's profitable. This foundation is profitable. It is necessary. It is foundational. If you're going to live for God and please him, you have got to say, I'm going to saturate my mind and my life in this book. Or there'll be no holy living. There'll be holy glimpses. Certainly Sundays, we appear to live holy. We come, we greet one another. We enjoy, and I'm not saying it's all that it's fake. It's genuine. It's an app. But what about tomorrow's holy living? Tuesday's holy living. It comes from this book. This is foundational. Holy living requires the revelation of God. Hebrews 4. Not only is the word of God foundational and profitable, as 2 Timothy 3 told us, but notice in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says that it's powerful. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book is God's way of working into me, of showing me who I really am. And sometimes it's not real pretty, but I need this book. It's profitable. It's powerful. And God's use it. It is foundational. It is God's revelation to me, and it's foundational if I ever have any hope of living holy. You can't do it outside of the Bible. And that's why 2 Timothy 2:15, we're instructed to study. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. What does that mean? It means it doesn't come easy. Sometimes it's just plain work. You got to on purpose do it. The leaves don't get raked by themselves unless you got a good strong wind or a daughter and her family. A workman, work at it. Read your Bible. Sometimes it's not all great, you know, like, oh, I can't wait to get in the Word and you're hungry. Other times, maybe not so much, but you work at it. So God is quite honest when he says, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's profitable. It's powerful. We need to study it. Erwin Lutzer said this, although we become Christians instantaneously by faith in Christ, knowing God and developing faith is a gradual process. There are no shortcuts to maturity. It takes time to be holy. Like the hymn says, it takes time to be holy. You cannot live holy outside of this book, this revelation. It's foundational. We have to get that into our minds. If there's no time in the book, there's no revelation. No revelation, no holy living. You're just kidding ourselves. I need this book. You need this book. We all need this book. Amen? Turn to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. Well, we'll start at 18, I think. Oh, I'm in Numbers. No wonder it looked funny. Here we go. Yeah, verse 18 and 19 of Deuteronomy 17. The Bible says, and it shall be when he, that's speaking of the king particularly, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. So the priests had the book. The Bible says, you need the book. Mr. King, you need the book. You need your copy. It reminds me of my life. We had the priests and they had the book. And they gave us the book. They interpreted the book. We didn't have the book. Then I found out about the book. Began to read the book. Fell in love with the book. The book changed me. I don't need the priests. We have become priests ourselves before God. So he says, get yourself a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. So to read them, to fear your God, to keep them and to do them. It's foundational. The revelation of God, the word of God. Can't say enough about this book. Acts 17. It was quoted in Sunday school this morning in Acts 17, speaking about the Bereans. And as Paul went from city to city, town to town, giving the gospel, he'd be preaching. And notably about this group, verse 11, these brethren here in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, isn't that interesting to say? God made a comparison here. And he says they were more noble, wiser. Why? Well, it says, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were hungry for the book. You want to be noble, you want to be wiser, be hungry for the book. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Say they were in the book, hungry for it and in the book. And God said they were noble. They were wiser. But I realize it's foundational. It's necessary. Spurgeon said this, I would rather lay my soul a soak in a half a dozen verses, speaking of the Bible, all day, than rinse my hand in several chapters. It's a good thing to note. Sometimes we might be confused in saying, well, gee, I read five chapters today. Aren't I a good boy? Well, I read 10 chapters today, and I was able to mark my little chart. I did my duty. And what Spurgeon is saying, well, great, what if you read the whole Bible in one day? what good did it do you? So it's not so much the length of it, it's how much we absorb it, how much we're into it. He'd lay his mind to soak in it, to ponder it, to meditate upon it, to muse over it. This is what changes you and I. This is how God makes us holy. If there's no meditating, no musing, no time in the Bible, we have no hope of living a holy life. Reading and thoughtful meditation in the Word of God will yield holy living. So, number one, the foundation for holy living is revelation. Number two, the motivation for holy living. What motivates us? What drives us? What should be in the front of our minds? It's God's satisfaction, pleasing Him. I see that in verse 1 too. Because notice, in our text, Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, therefore, referring back to the revelation of God, based on all the truths that were explained in these preceding chapters, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. There's the motivation. That's why you're in the book. That's why you want to live holy. You grab all that you can out of it. Present your bodies. Surrender yourself to God and His leading, because you want to please Him. That must be the motivation. Not to satisfy self, or satisfy that you've read all your according to your chart, or that you'll be happier. It's not about your happiness. Well, the truth is, you live holy and you are. It's just a natural byproduct, a supernatural byproduct. John 8. Here we have the words of Jesus. See what his motivation was. And in verse 29, and he, Jesus speaking, that sent me, speaking of the Father, is with me. And by the way, he's with you and I. The Father hath not left me alone, neither will he ever leave you and I alone. For I do always those things that please myself. Is that what your Bible says? No, that please him. Jesus said, I do all those things that please the Father. That's my motivation. It's my goal. It should be our motivation. It should be our goal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice verse 9. The Bible says, wherefore we labor, or we serve, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted or acceptable of Him. Accepted of Him. Pleasing in His sight. Accepted by Him. It's not whether I'm pleased with what I've done or decisions I've made. It's about pleasing Him. That's the motivation. That's why we want to live holy. Because it will please Him. And I can't do it without the revelation, the Word of God. That's foundational. The foundation for holy living is revelation. The motivation for holy living is God's satisfaction. 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you get up every morning and you say, I'm going to please God today, you'll seek to live holy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now the context there is verse 1, supplications, prayers, intercessions for those in leadership and all this and all that. And it's good, it's accounted as good, but the motivation is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's all about pleasing Him, acceptable in His sight. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and notice verse 5. The Bible says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It is always about being accepted of Him in His sight, pleasing in His sight. Did you ever do something when you're younger, trying to please Dad? Please your mother? Be it any given day, or maybe it was their birthday, Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever. You just on purpose tried to please them. And it was all geared about them. It was your motivation. Our motivation, why we should live holy and seek to live holy, is because we want to please Him. You know, the author of our salvation, the Savior of our soul, to please Him. It demonstrates our thankfulness. It is the proper motivation. It's not about pleasing me. But again, there's that byproduct that comes quite naturally or supernaturally. Watchman Nee said this, "I have never seen a soul who has set out to satisfy the Lord and has not himself been satisfied." This just follows sequence. You please God, you will be a happy cat. Doesn't mean there'll be no tribulation, no trials, no time of tears. It'll come. But ultimately, you'll have a peace and a joy that overrides everything else. But that's not the motivation. That's not the goal. It's not that I'm happy. Happiness is never found in the pursuit thereof. Happiness is found in pleasing God. Pleasing God. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Sometimes I think the phrase of living holy is not received by many a Christian in a proper way. I think often, you know, it's too big a job for me to do. And so you tune out. And yet, when we're reminded that that's how you please God, then you're motivated to please Him, that you take notice. And we'll get to another verse where we'll be speaking about how God does it through us, how we're able to accomplish it. And it's not so much work and duty-bound and demanding. That's not God's intention. But in Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16, "Because He hath set His love upon me," God's determining how to bless, "because He set His love upon," because He made me first, because His motivation was pleasing me, you see, "therefore will I deliver Him, I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name, He shall call upon me, and I will answer Him, I will be with Him in trouble, I will deliver Him and honor Him, with long life will I satisfy Him, and show Him my salvation." I'm going to satisfy you, son, because it's been in your heart to satisfy and please me. Seek to please God. You'll be blessed. Let's want to please Him. Let it be our motivation to live holy. So number one, the foundation for holy living is revelation, the Word of God. The motivation, number two, for holy living is God's satisfaction. My deep desire and goal is to please Him and be acceptable in His sight. Number three, the method for holy living. The method. How do you do it? It's consecration. Big word, but it refers to one little word in our text. Romans 12. Notice, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Present yourself. Consecration is when you present yourself for God's working in your life. Consecration is defined as the act of separating from a common to a sacred use, or of devoting and dedicating a person or thing to the service and worship of God. Presenting yourself. God consecrates you. Present yourself. He'll make you holy. Surrender yourself. Die to self. He'll do the work in you. You can't live holy on your own. But you know it pleases Him based upon the revelation of the Word of God. And so you have this motivation to please Him. And He says, this is how you do it. Present yourself. It's the same word we use for a present. Christmas time, a lot of presents are given. You give a present. Somebody received the present. Give yourself to Him. Everything else will fall into place. If your head's in the book, you see, and your heart's on him, you give him the present. It's me. I'm yours. Do with me as you please. Tomorrow's your day. By the way, Tuesday's your day. I'm all yours. Present yourself as a present to God. We are to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. And we know that sacrifice, the word means to kill. They sacrificed the Old Testament lambs and animals. They weren't, you know, grooming them. They were taking their lives. It was 100%. It wasn't partial. You're to give yourself 100%. And that goes against the flesh. It goes against self. I want to do this. I want to. I need this. I. One of the biggest words. That's what Lucifer used. A living sacrifice. Sacrifice. No, I die to self. Romans 6 through 8. Sanctification. Spend some time in those three chapters tomorrow. And it speaks of dying to self and living for him, presenting him. My life is yours. I'm dead to self. And it is there that you will find your joy and your delight. You say, I give it all away? You give it all away. You cannot outgive God. What you give to God, he'll bless you 100-fold. Believe it. Live holy for him. He'll take care of you. His will must be sought and surrendered to. His will, see, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. At the end of verse 2, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That's what we see, to please him. I present myself. Consecration, sanctification, setting myself apart. He'll do the holiness, making me holy. It's been said that if two men ride on a horse, one must ride behind. That's you and me. Give him the reins. Let him determine your life this way or that way, faster, slower. Hold tight. He's there. Oswald Chambers said this. He was commenting on the me generation back then. It's worse now. He says, it is the continual assertion of individuality. I could have alluded that this morning. Remember? I gave you that attitude. How they it makes me want to reach over. If I ever did that in front of my parents, they'd have taken my head off. What do you think? When you wake up, he says it is a continual assertion of individuality that hinders our spiritual development more than anything else. Individuality must go in order that personality may emerge and be brought into fellowship with God. Get out of the way, man. Our biggest problem, self. You put self aside and you put your motivation, love for God and serving him, pleasing him. You will want to live holy for him. You will want to be in the book knowing this is what equips us to do so. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, we have the recording of Mary's response when she was called to be the mother of Jesus. Knowing what this required, the embarrassment, the possible loss of her betrothed. Joseph could have banished away publicly, privately, either way, she was out on her own. The shame, the embarrassment, all of that. And she received this message that, you know, you shall conceive, verse 31. But I'm looking down at verse 38. After the explanation by Gabriel, this is God's doing. He's got a great plan. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. all yours. I know what this is going to look like to my parents, to everybody else, but I'm all yours. I put your will above all of theirs or mine. I present myself. That's what God wants from you and I every day. Consecrated, the act of separating from a common use, living my life for me, to a sacred use, living my life for Him. It lends to holy living. Surrender. It's not you and I making ourselves holy. Won't happen. God makes us holy. He changes us. When we want to please Him so bad, we're in the book. The Holy Spirit takes the book and changes us. And we'll talk about that in just a moment in the last note. E. Stanley Jones said, if you don't surrender to Christ, you surrender to chaos. And isn't that true? Try to fix your life by yourself. A.W. Tozer said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they have not yet come to the end of themselves. We are still giving some of the orders, and we are still interfering with God's working within us. You didn't present. Not holy and acceptable. Not totally, not as a living sacrifice, 100%. By nature, many a Christian gives some to God, but reserves some for self. It's that war. Even Paul alluded to the war in Romans. About what he wanted to do, didn't do, and what he shouldn't do, he knew he shouldn't, he did do, and he was very frustrated. He was being very honest with the Christian life you and I live as well. But it's in total surrender. He's the one that God used to write Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, are we really surrendered, dedicated, and consecrated unto the Lord and His program? That's the question for you and I to ask. We need to stop driving the wagon, pass the reins over to Him. Let Him drive. It's a sweet ride. So the foundation for holy living is revelation. Stay in the book. The motivation for holy living is God's satisfaction, acceptable in His sight, pleasing Him being the goal. The method for holy living is consecration, presenting ourselves, set apart for His holy and sacred use, instead of our own common use. So it leads us to number 4. The result of holy living is transformation. You get changed. He makes you holy. Now look at verse 2 of Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be like everybody else. But be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Transformation from the old man to a new. Now we know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. So there's changes that begin. I didn't become the Christian that I am today, the day I got saved. It's over time that God changes us. And it takes time, but certainly I was a new creature. And we are, once you get saved, are to live like a new creature, like the caterpillar that becomes the butterfly. God expects us to fly, man, not crawl. Don't live the baser life. Fly. Let God take care of you, grow you up, cause you to mature, to live holy, to be a holier vessel for Him to use. But then comes more changes. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Often we look at 28 and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. But 29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's you. That's me. Or to be conformed to His image, to be more like Jesus. And He is holy. And that's the goal God wants. There's a transformation that He wants to occur. And we change from that old man to the new. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verses 22 to 24. The Bible says that she put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And by the way, those lusts, notice the word deceitful, they lie to you. There's always a promise of the devil in the lusting for this, that, whatever. It's not limited to sex. It's any kind of lusting desire for self, for me, more for me. And it's their deceitful lust, God honestly calls it. Because they deceive you, they tell you you'll be satisfied, and you will never be satisfied with what the world offers. But it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's why the revelation, it changes your mind, your direction. 24, and that she put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A transformation occurs. You become holy, you live holy, you think holy, because you're pleasing him. You're in his word. You presented yourself. Do what you need to do. Change me. Mold me. I want to be like Jesus. I want to live holy because it pleases you. And your life becomes tremendously blessed. Protected. Putting off or ridding ourselves of stuff and practices and habits that we are attached to is very hard to do as long as we are more important to self than the Lord is. But now you make him number one in your life, as was sung. He's the reason, he's the purpose for living. It lends towards holy living. The foundation is the revelation of God. Stay in the Bible. Read more. Ponder more. Meditate more. Allow yourself, your mind, to be enriched and changed. The motivation, God's satisfaction. Aim to please him. The method, be consecrated. Total surrender. And the result is transformation. Not only a new creature in Christ, but a holy creature in Christ. And that pleases your God. If you and I are truly thankful that he sanctified and saved our souls, he wants to save our lives and make our lives sanctified and holy too. Then we'll do what Romans 12, 1 and 2 tell us to do. Let's bow our heads. With heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, another time of invitation when you and I are invited as a result of hearing the word of God, being open and surrendered to the Holy Spirit's moving in our mind and hearts, we are invited to spend time with him in responding. So what is it that God wants to hear from you now? Do you think God wants to hear, well, I've tried that holy stuff before, it didn't work for me. Is that what he's looking for? A defeatist attitude? One who's caught up more in self and I'm not going to put any more into it? Perhaps you had it wrong. Perhaps you were relying upon yourself and that's why it didn't produce what God wants to produce in you. No, it comes with surrender and presentation. What is it that God wants you to say tonight? Does he want you to come and say, Lord, I'm making new resolve. I've had my failures in the past, but I also know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and that you delight in my way and that you will lift me up. That's me. I want to be lifted up, Lord. I need the help that you provide through your word, through the Holy Spirit, using the word in my life, with my heart properly aligned in trying to please you with my life. Oh, dear God, I present myself fresh and new to you and whatever you want from my life. I want to live holy. I want to be at your service. Perhaps, Lord, speaking to you about full-time service, full-time ministry. What a wonderful thing to say, God, I'm all yours. I have concerns, apprehensions, or perhaps some fears even, but I trust you. And I know that you have nothing but the best for me. What is God saying to you tonight? As the music's playing softly, the invitation is open. The altar's open. You like to spend time in prayer. But make these several minutes important, profitable, between you and your God.